You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's time for What's Up with Deputy Leader of the National Party, Nicola Willis.
Morena, Nicola. How are you this morning?
Morena, very well, thank you.
It's great to chat with you. We spoke with you just before the budget was announced in our last conversation, and obviously it's been a couple of weeks out now. Lots to reflect on in it. You delivered your tax cuts. Are you feeling happy with the response to the tax cut portion of your budget?
Yeah, look, I am. There's a lot of New Zealanders who are doing it tough, and they are looking forward to some tax relief this winter. I'm proud that the tax package that we delivered was exactly the one that the National Party campaigned on. We've been able to deliver that in full and deliver it responsibly by reprioritising spending and delivering new revenue initiatives as we campaigned on. And it sits alongside a budget that invests in services New Zealanders depend on, the health system, the education system, the police force. We've got our priorities right.
Now, one thing that you did specifically campaign on that wasn't delivered in this budget was, of course, the funding for those specific cancer drugs that has made a lot of headlines in the last couple of weeks and caused a lot of consternation from very specific communities as well. Are you disappointed in being unable to particularly fulfil that promise?
Well, we are going to fulfil that promise. We campaigned on delivering those 13 additional cancer treatments, and we will. And we will make announcements about that shortly.
All right, we'll watch this space. One thing we've seen come out of this Child Poverty Action Group and Save the Children and other advocacy organisations that work with child poverty have criticised your budget, saying it's going to lock more than 20,000 children into poverty. How do you respond to this? That's a really massive number of young people.
Well, I've got the Child Poverty Report in front of me. That's a report that we're required to produce by law. And what that actually shows is that when you look at the measurement of child poverty after housing costs, our package means that there will be fewer children in poverty than had otherwise been forecast to be the case. And what we also know is that our tax package intentionally targets relief, particularly at lower and middle income families with young children. They're the ones who benefit most from the package because they're eligible for a childcare rebate for their childcare costs if they have young children in early childhood education. We've also increased the working for families payment for parents and work by up to $50. So that also has an impact for families with children. And we're working really hard as a government to make sure we're delivering kids for kids with things like more investment in the education system, in specialist schools. We found the money to continue the lunch program that the last government had left unfunded.
With the conversation that we've had with you, Nicola, but also that you've been discussing, is this is not an austerity budget by your words, but you know that does mean investing in these long-term infrastructure things. We've seen a lot of sort of halting of investment. Are you still satisfied that this is not an austerity budget by stealth?
Oh, look, absolutely, because we've made record investments in the health system, really big lifts in investments for the education system, you know, $1.5 billion there for new schools and for maintaining and upgrading existing schools. There's a significant regional infrastructure fund, which is there particularly to help with climate resilience, to help local communities invest in flood protection programs and the like, a big investment in transport so that we can have roads to enable housing and make it easier for people to get around. So this is a budget that prioritises carefully, absolutely, and we've reprioritised a lot of things, but I think it's focused on those services which New Zealanders depend on.
We've seen a very significant visit from the Chinese Premier in the last week to New Zealand. This is the most senior ranking official from China to come to New Zealand in over 7 years. What were, in your opinion, some of the most important discussions or agreements to have come out of this visit?
Well, the relationship with China matters because it's a long-standing economic relationship and we share a region in the world. And so I think what came out of it is, first of all, you really got to have those people-to-people links, in which Premier Li has now been in New Zealand. He's met many people. I think the second thing that came through was a number of exchanges of letters and agreements to progress our trading arrangements around services and to ensure that in future we can both grow trade. You know, that makes sense for New Zealand. If we can have more students from China, more tourists from China, that's more income for New Zealanders. If we can export more goods to China, that's more income coming into our businesses, that's more jobs for Kiwis. So joint commitment by both countries to recommit to growing that trade and growing that economic relationship.
What conversations or what balancing acts are happening in terms of managing the relationship with China, but also this potential involvement that New Zealand might have in AUKUS, which has been very controversial, a lot of public pushback to it. That's a really significant relationship with America, and there's obviously a lot of tension between those two spaces at the moment. Is that something that is being balanced by your government?
I think the first context is that it's important that in any relationship New Zealand remain true to its values and its interests. And so that includes New Zealand speaking up on matters where we do disagree with China, and we're able to do that in the context of a strong relationship. The second thing is, in terms of AUKUS, of course, we are simply continuing the position of the previous government, which is that we are open to exploring whether or not we would become part of the Schedule 2 of that agreement in future, which simply relates to the exchange of technology. So that's something we are looking at and considering. No decisions have been made. I think it's always important for New Zealand to consider what's in the interests of keeping our people safe, our people secure, and we do that through a range of different relationships in a range of different ways. We've always just got to put our own interests first.
It will be interesting to see how that conversation develops, particularly, you know, I think there is a very strong public understanding that even in that Pillar 2, we might be jeopardising our nuclear-free position. Is that something that's being discussed or thought about at the moment?
No, there's no intention to change our nuclear-free position, and there's not even discussion about obtaining nuclear-propelled submarines in any way. That's not at all what's being discussed. That is not at all covered by Pillar 2.
Well, let's have a wee bit of a chat about the Fast Track Approvals Bill. Obviously, this has been bubbling away for a long time now. We've seen a massive amount of protest action in response over the last couple of weeks, 25,000 people nearly showing out here in Auckland City. And, you know, the government has said it wants to build infrastructure faster. How are you going to balance making sure that there is protection for the environment, that there is legislation that makes sure that we're not bowling over Te Tiriti in the process of this, particularly when it comes to making these financial decisions about the infrastructure of Aotearoa?
Well, look, anyone who's been involved in a significant resource consent process will tell you that the most troubling thing is often the time it takes and the uncertainty. So we have wind farms, for example, that have gone through consenting processes that have literally taken 8 years. Now, there's time in court, there's expense of lawyers, there's all of that sort of thing. So the process that we're proposing is one where there's a major project that is in the national interest, for example, a large housing development or a large renewable energy project, that project be able to go to a panel and be assessed to see whether it in fact meets that national interest test, and to then have conditions prescribed which are needed to protect the environment. So there's no intention here to put the environment to one side. It's just to make sure that this can be fast-tracked and doesn't have to go through endless delays, which actually stops projects happening and costs the country a lot of money. In terms of the Treaty of Waitangi, there's specifically in the bill as it stands a clause which would require all existing Treaty of Waitangi settlements to be upheld.
This is, I think, you know, it's all well and good talking about wind farms, but people are really concerned about things like coal mining, and that is, I think, not being fronted as part of the discussion here. What are we going to see in terms of particularly the National Party's leadership on this to ensure that New Zealanders feel like those real tenants of perhaps national identity here aren't being disrespected in the process of bringing this legislation in?
Well, look, in terms of our national identity, I think we do have to recognise that there are people who are employed and receive their livelihood as a result of mining. It actually, mining has advanced considerably in that it can be done in ways which minimise impact on the environment. Requirements can be put on firms for the remediation of land that is mined. And we have to really decide, do we want to be a country that says no to all of the sources of wealth and employment and opportunity, or do we want to be a country that embraces global best practice, that does those things in a way that protects the environment and often actually can lead to more investment in environmental protection when wealth and income is being brought in. And we think that the fast-track consenting regime gets that balance of allowing there to be strict environmental conditions put on projects, but also allowing projects that will create jobs and incomes to progress.
Very last question before we let you go, Nicola, but as Finance Minister, are you comfortable with the relationship, close relationships that ministers are making in these big decisions? Are you worried it might impact our financial transparency rankings and our good transparent business perception overseas?
Look, I think it's important we maintain that long-standing position that New Zealand is transparent about decision-making. We have strict rules in our cabinet manual, that's our cabinet rule book, about the disclosure and management of conflicts of interest to ensure that there isn't misuse of position. And so I think that that is really significant, that we need to make sure that the bill upholds that. I'd note that it is before Select Committee. There is the scope for sensible changes to be made through that process.
Well, thank you very much for your time this morning, Minister. We really appreciate it. We will talk to you again in a few weeks. Take care.
Thank you. Take care.
That was What's Up with Deputy Leader of the National Party, Nicola Willis.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.